novelist-looking type our age takes the last available table, opening his laptop to write the next Harry Potter before I can. He's cool to look at least. Bright eyes, dark brown skin, Caesar cut, a shirt with the Human Torch on it. If I were ballsier, sort of like that Arthur dude or Dylan with Samantha, I would make the first move. I'd sit across from him, say what's up, chat about writing, find out if he's into guys, call him pretty, pray he calls me pretty back, get his phone number, fall in love. But I'm not ballsy, so I don't. We reach the front of the line, and Samantha reaches over the counter, almost knocking over a spinner of impulse buy cookies. "I'm a hugger," she says. She's undersold herself because she's not simply a hugger. She's a damn good hugger. "So nice to meet you, Ben." "You too, Samantha." "Samantha, right? Not Sam? Not Sammy?" "Only my mom calls me Sammy. Weirds me out whenever anyone else does." "Thanks for asking," Samantha says. She turns to Dylan. "Hi."
"Hi,"
he says.
"How you doing?"
"Good. Busy." She smiles at the roses. "You're sweet. Unless those aren't for me, then I'm spitting in your coffee."
"All yours,"
Dylan says. Samantha picks up a cup, writes Dylan's name inside a heart, and gets his spit-free large coffee started. "What can I get you, Ben?"
"I don't know. Strawberry lemonade, I guess?"
"Sugar FTW."
"Small? Medium? Large?"
I look at the prices on the menu. "Small. Definitely small." "Holy shit. $3.50 for a small cup of half ice, half juice? I could go on an adventure with a $2.75 single ride Metro card with change to spare. Buy a gallon of orange juice, 3 packs of Skittles, and 5 Swedish fish at the corner store."
"You got it,"
Samantha says. She draws a smiley face under my name. "I'll be free in a couple minutes. Let me just close out this line." We wait at the end of the bar. I take another peek at the dude in the Human Torch shirt. He's wearing headphones now, and I wonder what he's listening to. Hudson liked a lot of classics. I'm more into whatever is trending that month. I don't seek out new songs, but if it's catchy, I'm set. It'd be cool to date someone who liked the same stuff I did. We wouldn't clash during road trips to see life outside the city. We could share earphones and vibe to the same song while relaxing somewhere quiet. A girl gets up from her corner table, wiping it down with napkins, and before I can charge to see if she's leaving, 2 dudes in suits on their lunch break swarm in and take the table.
"You should have let me get the table," I say.
"Isn't she awesome?"
Dylan asks.
"Yep,"
I say automatically. Samantha comes out from behind the counter, singing our names. "Here you go." She walks to the standing bar. "Thanks for stopping by."
"Dylan wouldn't miss it for the world," I say.
"Me either, obviously."
"Beats going home and doing homework, right?"
Dylan says. I just nod. I don't really want anyone knowing I'm in summer school. It was embarrassing enough sitting in homeroom toward the end of the school year when I wasn't handed my report card and had to go meet with the guidance counselor. Everyone in homeroom knew it meant I was getting the go to summer school or repeat 11th grade in a different school chat. I should have gone that second route. I would have my summer and be Hudson free in September and beyond too. Samantha takes a sip from her iced quad non-fat one-pump mocha with whip. I think she can tell talking about summer school was awkward and touchy for me. I wish my best friend was as quick on this front. I love working here, but I sort of miss my freedom too.
But I want to work in business one day, and my mom said it's best to work at every stage possible before climbing the ranks, so I never turn into some monster expecting masterful work from employees making just enough to get by.
What kind of business? I ask.
I would love to start my own app games. I have this one idea. It's like Frogger, but instead of heavy traffic streets, it takes place on the sidewalks of New York. You die if you get hit with someone's shopping cart, and you lose points if you cross a tourist's path while they're taking photos. Stuff like that.
I would play the hell out of that and dominate the leaderboards, I say.
Dylan was practically playing a real-life version of it on our way here.
What? I didn't want to miss the start of her break, Dylan says.
He's sheepish about it, which is not a word I would usually tag on Dylan. It's kind of adorable how every minute counts for him. The classic honeymoon stage where everyone feels like they're riding a unicorn on floating rainbows while drinking Skittle smoothies. But eventually you realize the unicorn was just a horse in costume, and now you have cavities. Samantha smiles at him, like she wants to call him sweet but is holding back.
So yeah, video game apps for me. If you ever have any ideas you want me to profit off of, let me know.
She winks. It's not a perfect wink, but it's still charming.
Can you make a 100% foolproof app that helps people find their soulmate?
I was hoping for suggestions on something easier, like a dog walking app with some sort of a twist, but sure.
I really like her. It's going to suck to see her go. Maybe I can befriend her behind Dylan's back. A friendship affair.
I know it was your call, but how are you doing post-breakup? Samantha asks.
Throws me that Samantha is caught up on a Hudson.
Probably too soon for Dylan to fill awkward silences by telling Samantha why he broke up with Harriet. He claims it was because Harriet liked being someone's girlfriend on Instagram more than she actually liked him. But I know it's because Dylan just woke up and wasn't feeling it one day.
Yeah, definitely not something you tell your potential next girlfriend.
First relationship, first breakup, first time someone really hates me. I just wish we could be friends, I say.
I'm sorry, Samantha says.
It is what it is. I down my sour strawberry lemonade in 4 sips, like some depressed adult throwing back shots. And I chew the ice because I paid for that too, damn it.
I hope he comes around, Samantha says.
His loss, I say, trying to shake it off. I throw my happy best friend face back on.
So, Titanic, huh?
I've loved it since I was a kid, Samantha says. Though, now I want to see a favorite of Dylan's.
Transformers, hands down, Dylan says.
Samantha cringes. Maybe dinner tomorrow instead. I can take you to the seafood spot I was telling you about.
Tomorrow is Friday the 13th, I say.
Oh, right. I'm not superstitious, don't worry, Samantha says.
Me either, Dylan says. I walk under ladders like it's no one's business.
Yeah, like when you were 8 and you broke your arm an hour later, I say.
He was so freaked out by the pain that he had a panic attack. He swore he was dying. It was so bad.
But I'm a good friend, and I never bring that up. I'm so glad I wasn't around to see him fall off his bike.
Bad coincidence, Dylan says.
Or bad luck.
I shrug. Anyway, we have a tradition. Horror movies at House Boggs on Friday the 13th. This has been running strong since 8th grade.
I'm in a Chucky mood.
Why Chucky? Samantha asks.
It's awesome. It's like Toy Story, but fucked up.
I'm definitely not messing with tradition, Samantha says. This sounds amazing.
Dylan side-eyes me.
I really don't want to be a cockblock, but I'm pretty sentimental. And Dylan can't blow me off for a girl he's known for less than a week, no matter how awesome she is. Back in April, Hudson and I were going to watch the new X-Men movie, and it was one of the few things he was excited about after the divorce. But it released on Friday the 13th, so I canceled our plans like a good friend, and Hudson saw it with Harriet. "You should hang with us," I say. I mean it. I'm cool being the third wheel. "I feel like I'll be the third wheel," Samantha says.
"Ben, find a dude and let's make it a double date."
"Okay, sure, yeah. I'll just spin around and choose someone here." I turn as a joke, and I make eye contact with the cute guy in the Human Torch shirt. I spin back to Dylan and Samantha with flushed cheeks. This is the universe popping up again. I want to make a move here. Because what if he's the one who's really supposed to fill the space that was carved out for Hudson? "I'm going to say hi to that guy," I announce.
"Ooh, which guy?" Samantha asks.
"The dude with the laptop?"
I realize there are four dudes with laptops in my line of vision.
Human Torch shirt.
"Go for it," Dylan says. "Get yours. Do it. Do it."
"Get mine." Hudson isn't the only one who can move on. I'm not going to psych myself out. I'm walking over and going to tell him he took my table as a joke and...
A gorgeous black girl approaches his table and she kisses him right on the lips.
I return to Dylan and Samantha.
"Of course he's straight," I say. "Maybe he's bi," Dylan says. "And in an open relationship."
"Or my life sucks," I say. "And maybe Hudson will be the last person who wanted me."
"That alien wanted you," Dylan says.
"Alien?" Samantha asks.
"But I'm never going to see him again," I say.
"Come on, there's got to be something about him we can try to find."
"What alien?" Samantha asks again.
"I met a guy at the post office," I say.
"His name is Arthur, but I didn't get his last name, and I don't remember giving him my name at all."
"Oh my God," Samantha squeezes my arm while bouncing. "I love a mystery. My best friend, Patrick..."
"Your best friend is a guy?" Dylan asks.
"Calls me the Nancy Drew of social media."
"Is Patrick gay?"
"Because I helped him find some girl online..."
"Bisexual?"
"That he met at his brother's graduation."
I ignore Dylan's dizzying interruptions and focus on Samantha.
"How did you find her?"
"He told me everything about the graduation that I could use as keywords for Twitter searches, like the ugly beige gowns and some quotable moments from the valedictorian speech. But then we just went down a rabbit hole of the graduation's hashtag on Instagram and found her. Turns out she doesn't have Twitter."
"Whoa."
"Okay, but really, back to Patrick," Dylan says.
Samantha grabs Dylan by the shoulders. "Patrick is like a brother to me, creep. Good?
Yay! Ben, tell me everything you know about Arthur."
"No point. I already did the Twitter hunt and I came up with nothing."
"Are you also the Nancy Drew of social media?" Samantha asks.
I smile. It's cool that she's so generous. Or maybe she's really bored. Either way, I fill her in on everything I already searched for on Twitter.
"I need more than hot dog ties in Georgia," Samantha says.
"I'm good, but come on. Why is he here for the summer?"
"Oh, because of his mom. She's a lawyer and she's working a case."
"Do you know the firm? Or anything about the case?"
Samantha pulls out her phone and takes notes on her phone.
Screw the app business. She needs to become a detective.
"No times two. But it's a firm that also has offices back in Georgia.
Milton, Georgia. Milton, like his uncle who's great," I say.
"Is his uncle a great guy or is he a great uncle?"
Oh. I don't remember. I shrug.
There's that summer school brain kicking in, Dylan says.
Samantha slaps his shoulder. It's okay. It won't matter too much. Anything else?
I'm too hung up on thinking about Dylan's comment. I know I'm in summer school. I wake up with that FML tightness in my chest every morning. Summer school is where I have to face my ex-boyfriend and scary future. I'm not someone like Arthur who's dreaming about amazing colleges.
Yale, I say.
Say what?
Dylan is super puzzled.
Arthur said he stopped by Yale's campus. He's kind of baby-faced, but he can be starting there this fall, right?
This is all super helpful, Samantha says. I should head back behind the counter in a sec, but anything else?
I think about all the good stuff that probably won't be helpful. Like how awkward he was when talking about my big package. How he lit up when he realized I was gay too, even though I was in the middle of telling him about my breakup. His enthusiasm for the universe like it's actually a friend of ours. Then I remember something useful.
He's leaving at the end of the summer, I say. There's no point.
Incentive to work faster. Samantha is beaming, like she has all the hope in the world, and I wish she would share some, because there's no way that the same universe that locks me away in summer school with my ex-boyfriend will also reunite me with a cute guy. Okay, I have to run back.
She hugs me. She smells like espresso and scones.
It was so great meeting you, Ben. I hope I can put this puzzle together for you and find your boy. But if not, I have no doubt someone awesome will cross your path and fall for you hard.
Maybe that someone has been in your life for years, Dylan says, placing his hand on mine.
Samantha laughs. I knew it. I'm totally going to be the third wheel tomorrow.
Fear not, future wife of mine. If you get scared tomorrow night, I'll only tend to you.
He smiles at her. Samantha isn't smiling back. She stares at the floor and scratches her head.
I catch the moment Dylan realizes he's really overshot it with the flirting. That maybe Samantha isn't about marriage talk after 2 days.
I'll catch you guys later.
She goes behind the counter, puts on her hat, and gets back to work.
Oh no,
he says.
It's okay.
It was just a joke.
Give her some space. She's working. You can talk later.
Dylan leads the way out.
Is it that bad? Really?
He turns around a few more times, like maybe he's trying to see if she's paying attention to him walking out. Maybe he's getting one last look at her.
Chapter 9. Arthur. Okay. Fuck Google. No, seriously. Fuck Google. And fuck Kate Hudson and Chris Robinson. Fuck them for getting married, and fuck them for getting divorced, and fuck them in general. Because do you know what pops up when you Google Hudson Robinson? Spoiler, it's not the boy from Panera. I sink backward onto my bed, staring up at the ceiling. I feel wired and on edge, and my room feels even smaller than usual. Sometimes New York feels like a full-body corset. 5 seconds later, my phone starts vibrating, and it's Ethan. I stare at the screen, 6 weeks of ignoring my texts, and now he's FaceTiming me out of nowhere, which isn't a big deal or anything, it's just unexpected. I press accept. Arthur! Says Jesse. They're mushed up together on Ethan's basement couch, otherwise known as the group text in video form. But it's fine. I mean, it's great. Ethan and Jesse are great, and I love them, and their timing is actually kind of perfect. I smile. Hey, just who I needed to talk to. They glance at each other so fast it barely registers, but then Jesse says, Oh, really? What's up? I found Hudson. Excuse me, what? But it's not him, I say quickly. It's not the post office guy, but I think maybe it's the boyfriend? Ex-boyfriend. Ethan points his finger. You're the boyfriend. Psh, I wish. Soon-to-be boyfriend, says Jesse. Wow, how did you find him? I tell them about Panera and the panini and the last name and the eyebrows, but when I finish, Jesse looks perplexed. Wait, how do you know it's not just some random guy named Hudson? Because. My stomach sinks. Suddenly, Juliet's logic seems specious at best. I don't know. Is it that common of a name? Devin Sawa named his baby Hudson. Of course you know that. Ethan nudges Jesse sideways. Anyway, nothing's coming up on Google or Facebook or Instagram or Tumblr or Snapchat or Twitter or literally anywhere, and I hate this. Jesse's expression softens. You really like this guy, huh? I groan. I don't even know him. I met him for 5 minutes. Why am I still thinking about him? Because he's hot, suggests Ethan. I just don't understand. Why would the universe introduce me to this boy and then take him away from me 5 seconds later? Maybe the universe will send him back to you, Ethan says. Slightly used, though. A little wear and tear. Mostly good condition. Jessie's silent for a moment, chewing her lip. Maybe the universe wants to make you work for it, she says finally. I am working for it. I just spent an hour Googling some random dude who likes paninis and didn't go to band camp. Hmm, says Jessie. She stands, suddenly out of frame. Wait, where are you going? I have an idea. I look at Ethan and he shrugs. Jesse's footsteps thud across the floor. So now it's just Ethan and me, and we're totally silent. He can barely meet my eyes. So, this is... Yep. He blinks. Everything good? Totally good. Okay, great. Yep. He presses his lips together and stares at his lap. So, how are Eminem, otherwise known as Michael and Mara Seuss, who I'm pretty sure are on the express train to Divorce Town? Great, I say. Perfect. This is painful, and there's no sign of Jesse. I'm sorry, but she needs to pull the plug on this mess right now. Ethan's still gazing somewhere above the webcam. Would he notice if I texted her? Just a quick SOS. And maybe a tiny threat that if she doesn't come back this second, I will ruin her. I will track down the video love confession she recorded for Ansel Elgort in 8th grade, and God help me, I'll find a way to break into the projection room at Regal Avalon. If she thinks this won't be the most memorable screening ever of Mission Impossible 6, she's... Hey, she says breathlessly, sliding back next to Ethan on the couch. I think I found Hudson. Wait, what? Mm-hmm. Oh my God, I'm just, Arthur, I'm so proud of myself right now. You don't even know. This is actually happening. Are you ready? I nod slowly. Are you okay? You don't look okay. She laughs. Neither do you. I pause. Are you sure it's him? I mean, you'll have to look at his picture and tell me. There's a picture? My stomach twists. Don't ever underestimate my internet creepiness. I never do. Says Ethan. Shut up. So, I had a stroke of inspiration. I was thinking about the whole story with Namrata, and I was like, you know what? I'm searching for Hudson Panini. No, hear me out. So, I go to Twitter, and I literally type in Hudson Panini, and the first thing that comes up is a guy named @HudsonLikeRiver. So, right away, I've got chills, because that's exactly what you said, remember? Hudson like the river. She points at me, smiling. Anyway, this guy, Hudson Lake River, has a tweet from 11:44 in the morning today, and it says, craving a panini, LOL. Okay. Arthur, he was craving a panini today, 30 minutes before you ran into him ordering a panini. And his name is Hudson. But how do we know he's the Hudson? Is he from New York? Jesse leans forward, grinning. I'm not done. Anyway, I check his bio, and it's super vague, and all of his tweets are vague, too. And they're bad. They're bad tweets. Not even funny bad. And his picture is a Bitmoji, so I'm like, fuck. But then I get the idea to check Instagram because people usually just use the same handle, right? And sure enough, boom, at Hudson Lake River. Public profile, 50 zillion pictures, amazing eyebrows, he's from New York, art, I'm freaking out. Oh my God. You have to go check it right now, she says. We'll talk to you later, okay? She ends the call and I just sit there, shell-shocked. A boy named Hudson, from New York, with great eyebrows, who was publicly craving a panini for lunch today. Fox Boy would be following him on Instagram, right? At least they'd be tagged in pictures together, which kind of makes my stomach churn, but whatever. Deep cleansing breath. I pull up Instagram and type in the handle, Hudson Lake River, at Hudson Lake River. And I'm there. Text from Jesse. Is it him? I can't even form a reply. God, it's him. Hudson. Clarendon filtered, wearing that backward baseball hat. Selfie upon selfie. But I have to stay calm. Just because he's Hudson Robinson, random panini boy, doesn't mean he's Hudson from the address label. It doesn't mean anything. For one thing, Box Boy is nowhere. Not a single picture of him in Hudson's entire feed. I click through them anyway, starting with the most recent, which is... I'm not even kidding, a picture of his fucking panini. The next one's a selfie with some girl, adorably named at Harriet the Pie, and then a peace sign selfie with the hashtag moving on. Moving on. It's from the day I met Box Boy, which doesn't necessarily mean anything. There are lots of ways a person can move on. Hudson could have changed jobs. He could have gotten a haircut. He could have moved on from bread bowls to paninis. But the comments... One particular comment. At Harriet the Pie, you are going to be fine without him, my beautiful friend. Him. Hudson doesn't need him. I take a screenshot of the picture and Harriet's comment, and I text it to Jesse and Ethan. It's him. Holy shit, writes Jesse. Whoa, nice work. Ethan chimes in, followed by three detective emojis, two white boys, and a brown girl, as if Ethan, world's most underachieving online creeper, had anything to do with this breakthrough. But I'm too nervous to care. I'm cranked up to 1,000. I scoot back in my bed to settle in with the app. Time to take inventory. At Hudson Lake River, 694 posts, 315 followers, 241 following. His bio's kind of bare. Hud's in the house. NYC, baby. I scroll again through his pictures. All 694 of them. There's not a single one of Box Boy. Not even in a group shot. And they definitely don't follow each other. I check the pictures other people have tagged Hudson in. No trace of Box Boy there either. I mean, maybe this is all one giant coincidence. Just another Hudson. Another Hudson in New York who dates boys and just had a breakup. It doesn't feel like a coincidence. Maybe Hudson and Box Boy deleted every single picture of each other and untagged the ones their friends posted. And of course they unfollowed each other because they probably can't stand the sight of each other. Which is why Box Boy was mailing the box in the first place. Any luck? Jesse writes. Not yet. Frowny face. I switch over to Harriet's profile. Since she and Hudson seem close... And even if she's all for Hudson moving on, she probably knew the ex he's moving on from. And, holy shit, 4,000 posts, 75,000 followers. Okay, so Hudson's friend Harriet is some kind of an Instagram celebrity, and that is pretty fucking cool, actually. She posts a lot of selfies with dramatically contoured cheekbones and intricate eyeliner patterns, and now I can't stop looking through them. I'm not even a makeup guy, but it's just so awesomely theatrical. If I didn't think it would be next-level creepy, I'd follow the hell out of Harriet. Except, wow, eye on the prize, Arthur. I scroll down to some of Harriet's earlier posts, where there are fewer selfies and more pictures with friends. Lots with Hudson. lots with various girls, and a whole series of a guy with a beard and shimmery unicorn eye makeup. But there are group pictures, too. I pause longer on those, carefully scanning the faces. I keep scaring the crap out of myself by almost liking Harriet's pictures. Not on purpose. It's my self-sabotaging fingers and their unstoppable compulsion to pinch and zoom. By now, I've worked my way back to March, and there's a whole series of group pictures in the snow outside Duane Reade. Mostly action shots, a snowball fight. But I notice Hudson in the background, looking out of frame and laughing. I swipe sideways. Same snowball fight, but the image is shifted slightly to the right. Now, you can see Hudson's laughing with a guy, but he's blurry. I swipe again, and then I forget how to breathe. Because it's the boy. It's actually him. Center frame, pink-cheeked and smiling self-consciously, while Hudson's doubled over, cracking up. Holy shit. I take a screenshot and text it straight to Jesse and Ethan. No caption, no emojis. As always, Jesse's the first to reply. OMG, Arthur, that's him? She doesn't wait for me to reply. He's beautiful.
That's a handsome dude, adds Ethan.
Multiple winking emojis. Ethan Gerson, my totally accepting straight bro friend who can't be alone with me.
I'd be totally accepting of him, shutting the fuck up.
I turn back to Harriet's feed and scan the post for Instagram handles. A few people are tagged in the snowball series, but not Boxboy or Hudson. Maybe they untagged themselves. I keep scrolling. For hours. Every single group post. I click on every single one. I scroll through Harriet's followers, all 75,000 of them. I scroll through her follow list. I click on everyone tagged in the snowball pictures and check their followers, too. Nothing. And not a single other picture of Boxboy. Still no name. Maybe Boxboy was right. Maybe the universe really is an asshole. What I need now is chocolate. And I'm not talking about a weak drizzle of Hershey's sauce on a waffle. I need the hard stuff, like Jacques Doré, or one of those giant double chocolate chip Levain bakery cookies. The classic Upper West Side dilemma. When your heart says Levain, but your lazy ass remembers there's a candy bowl next to the coffee pot. Emotional blue balls. That's what it feels like. It's being handed everything you've ever longed for, only for it to slip through your fingers. And there's no way to fix it. Nothing you can do but slink toward the kitchen counter in a full-body mope. The kitchen's fully stocked with coffee again. I guess Dad stepped up and bought some. And it's the nice stuff, not Starbucks. It's French roast artisan blend from Dream and Bean. A tiny thrum in my chest. My heart's the first to remember. Dream and Bean. His shirt. How could I forget about his t-shirt? If I were a detective, the chief would fire my ass right now. This is the game-changing clue, and it was right under my nose. Who even wears shirts from coffee shops? Coffee shop employees, that's who. I Google it so fast I almost misspell the word bean. But there it is. Two blocks from Mom's office. In the direction of the post office. All my chill vanishes. What if? I'm going to find him. It's going to happen. My heart slams in my chest as I picture it. He'll be behind the counter, bored and dreamy and adorably disheveled. I'll walk in slow motion, perfectly centered in a beam of flattering light. And obviously the handlebar twins from the post office will be there too, but we'll barely notice them this time. Our eyes will be glued to each other, his Emma Watson lips trembling.
Arthur,
he'll say, and I'll just nod. I'll be so verklempt. I thought I'd never see you again. He'll say, I looked everywhere for you. And I'll whisper, you found me. And then he'll,
but wow.
Okay, I need to strategize, because maybe he's off duty tomorrow. I should bring the picture just in case. Would that be unforgivably creepy, showing his picture to the barista? Maybe I could hang his picture on the bulletin board, like a real-life misconnection post, like Craigslist, but old school. I mean, coffee shops always have bulletin boards, I think. All I know is this.
I refuse to miss this chance. I scramble back to my room, open my laptop, and type. Are you the boy from the post office? I feel super awkward right now, and I can't believe I'm doing this, but here we go. We talked for a few minutes at the post office on Lexington. I was the guy in the hot dog tie. You were the guy mailing stuff back to your ex-boyfriend. I loved your laugh. Wish I'd gotten your number. Want to give me a second chance here, universe? Arthur.Seuss@gmail.com.
Chapter 10. Ben.
Cool coffee is the worst, Dylan says as we step out of Dream and Bean with a fresh cup of coffee instead of refilling his thermos in my backpack. He's become really bitter since telling Samantha she's his future wife the way he'd normally tell no one but me. It's fine and cool with me, but telling the girl, when it's only been a couple days, that was never going to play out well. Maybe it's for the best. Bad coffee is bad coffee, and that's what Samantha serves. If I had future married her, I would have been leading the second life of lies. I might have told her on my deathbed so I could die an honest man. I shake my head. Why are you the way you are? Too many shitty cups of coffee, Big Ben. It's not over. I'm sure she's already realized that you're just so Dylan that you Dylaned too hard. Dylaning isn't a bad thing. To Dylan someone is to adore them, even if they brew the worst coffee on God's green earth. We walk through Washington Square Park. There's a cute Mexican guy with hipster glasses sitting on a bench, nodding along to whatever song is playing on his headphones while he eats ice cream. Ice cream is one of Hudson's favorite foods. Not dessert, food. We once played this game where I would close my eyes. He'd take a spoonful of whatever flavors were available in his freezer, and I had to guess which ice cream it was. This was back in early March, when doing little stupid things like that felt extra special. Something that was just for us. Dylan's phone rings.
It's Samantha, Big Ben! Ha! I knew wifey couldn't get enough of Daddy D.
I hate everything you just said. Play it cool. Dylan winks, but I know he's gotta be freaking. He answers the phone.
Hey, I-
His smile goes away.
Oh.
My heart drops a little for him. He turns to me.
It's for you.
Okay, so maybe that wasn't the happy plot twist we thought it would be. I take the phone.
Hello?
I may have found your boy, Samantha says.
Say what?
It wasn't easy, but I did some digging. I looked into law firms in Georgia with New York connections and came up empty. I jumped to Instagram and searched through the hashtag for hot dog ties, and the most recent photo was last year, so that was out. And I checked Facebook for Yale newbie groups, and there's a meetup for incoming freshmen in New York. Today at 5.
You're kidding, I say.
I'm texting a link to the Facebook group now. The phone vibrates against my face. I open the text, click the link. Class of 2022. Meet up at Central Park. There's no promise he'll be there, Samantha says. I searched through the list of people who RSVP'd yes, but people like yours truly often don't RSVP, so I have hope.
Wow, you're amazing, I say.
I'm also talking on company time, so I gotta leave the stock room. But best of luck with your search and tell Dylan I said bye.
Thanks, I say, right as she hangs up. What happened? Was she talking about me?
Dylan asks.
I'm sorry. She's about to go run off into the sunset with Patrick, I say. He tries taking his phone back, but I don't let go. I'm kidding! But look, she may have found Arthur. There's a Yale freshman meetup thing today. It's almost too convenient, right?
Yes, it's very convenient that my future wife did all the work for you.
You know what I mean. There are so many things Arthur can be doing in this city he doesn't live in. He'll see all these people in school. There's no way he'll be there.
We don't have to go. Dylan snatches his phone and looks at the group. Wow, Samantha's wasting her time at that sad excuse of a coffee shop. She can be the Hermione in our trio. Dibs on Harry.
But that means I'm Ron.
Sucks for you.
Ron ends up with Hermione.
Okay, but I don't want to be Ron. No one wants to be Ron. Rupert Grint probably didn't even want to be Ron. How about this? I'm Han Solo, and she's Princess Leia. You can be Luke.
I don't care, I say. Let's focus.
Right, right. We should go to the meetup anyway. Maybe Arthur won't be there, but maybe he will be, Dylan says.
Knowing he could be there is more than enough to get me going.
Let's do it.
May the Force be with you, Ron Weasley.
We should have aliases, Dylan says.
We're walking through Central Park and toward Belvedere Castle, where the meetup is happening. There's something really enchanting about reuniting with Arthur at a castle, like some bomb-ass fairy tale.
Too bad I smell like my dad's cologne, and I'm wearing a polo shirt from last spring that's now super tight on me, because that's the Yale bro look, apparently.
Aliases will only make this more complicated, I say. I wish we hadn't gone back home to change first. I just want to be in clothes I like.
More awesome, you mean? I think I'm going to be Digby Whittaker. You can be Brooks Teague.
No.
Orson Bronwyn?
No.
Final offer. Ingram Yates.
No! We're approaching the stairs that lead up to the meetup.
Okay, D, real talk. I'm kind of freaking. I really want Arthur to be up there, but I'm also feeling weird getting my hopes up about someone new.
I need wingman advice, Digby Wilson.
Whittaker, Dylan corrects.
He claps his hands.
Let's say Arthur is here, and you hit it off.
He's leaving at the end of the summer anyway, right? You can treat this like a rebound. No, I don't want to do that to anyone. Or myself.
You're right. Bad advice, Big Brooks.
Ben.
Not getting anything past you.
Dylan takes me by the shoulders and stares into my eyes, like an intense coach and his trainee. Maybe you do need a break before you're really ready to move on. I will respect you if you walk away from this. But I know you're a dreamer, Big Ben, and maybe the universe is giving you this second shot. I hope he's right. I hope the universe proves me wrong and actually comes through for both of us. Maybe, I say.
If you won't do it for yourself, at least do it for all the people on the train who had to suffer through your cologne in such tight quarters.
Asshole. We reach the top of the open space. The sun and lake and the rest of the park hanging out behind the crowd of Yale's noobs. A lot of the guys here are tall, so I walk around, dragging my feet. But out of the 20 or so guys, some smelling like cologne way nicer than my dad's. None of them are Arthur. He's not here, I say. And we're the only ones in polos.
It's early, Dylan says. Arthur may show up in a polo?
I glare.
We're here, and we should try to have some fun, Dylan says. If you send me home, I'm just going to listen to sad music and stare out the window and jump whenever my phone buzzes and then be sadder than I was before when I see it's just you texting me and not Samantha.
You've made me feel like shit, but sure, let's stay.
Yay!
Dylan looks around.
Yale has some lookers here.
Aren't you feeling motivated to study really damn hard in senior year to try and get that full scholarship life? Not a hot dog tie in sight.
Is that a new fetish?
No, it's just,
It's cool to see someone not take himself so seriously.
Well, someone who is actually here is checking you out, Dylan says. 11 o'clock a.m.
A.m. or p.m. doesn't matter.
Yeah, it does. He's got those a.m. breakfast date vibes, not the p.m. take me into the bathroom and let's bump butts vibes.
I check the guy out instead of asking Dylan if he knows anyone who bumps butt as a sexual activity because I know he'll have answers and I have my limits. The guy is really cute and definitely breakfast date wholesome. Dark brown skin, peach blazer, white t-shirt, navy slacks that end above his ankles, and white low-top sneakers that probably cost more than what I spent on clothes in 3 months. It looks pretty effortless. And if I learned anything from Instagram rising star Harriet, everything that looks effortless requires too much effort. But it's always worth it if you want the likes and the looks. Nice style, I say. I'm extra self-conscious in my tight polo. But I feel like I'd rather be him than be with him.
Maybe we say hi before you completely write him off?
We don't even know if he's into guys.
Then you make an ass of yourself. It's not like you're actually going to have to spend the next 4 years at Yale with him.
Don't I know it? There's nothing about any of my report cards since sixth grade that have my parents expecting to find me graduating from an Ivy League school. Ma really wants me in college, so no one can write me off the way no one took her seriously for so many years. But sometimes it feels pointless anyway. Like, if I'm pitted against anyone standing here in this circle, they're going to see me as community college Ben and not Yale Ben. And I'll lose out. And now there's this cute guy who I just automatically feel unworthy of. I once felt that way about Hudson too, and that worked out before it stopped working. I'm not big on talking to strangers. Like, I wouldn't have ever approached Arthur. But there's an opening here. So I drag Dylan with me to go say hi to this guy while he's in the middle of a conversation with a girl in a radiant yellow hijab.
Hi, I'm Ben.
I'm Digby Whitaker.
Whoa, hell of a name, the cute guy says.
Thanks, what's yours? Dylan asks.
Kent Michelle, he says, shaking Dylan's hand and then mine. I turn to the girl.
Ben.
Alima, she says. So, you guys excited? Dylan clears his throat.
Oh, yeah. Really excited to advance my education in Greek, ancient, and modern studies, you know? I kind of want to name my son Achilles, because I think there's a lesson here about downfalls.
It's like Dylan tries to out-Dylan himself sometimes.
Sounds way more fun than ethics, politics, and economics, Kent says. Fun times.
Oh, good. He's not so full of himself that he thinks his major is riveting stuff. He definitely gets some cool points.
What are you into?
And damn, the way he asks that gets me blushing a little. I realize I have no idea what courses are available at Yale, or colleges in general. I'm not even a senior yet and haven't really been thinking that far. So I just keep it honest. I'm big on writing.
Me too, Kent says. Well, used to be. Don't make fun, but I used to write a lot of fan fiction. Oh, Ben definitely won't be making fun of you, Dylan says.
I'm not the Little Mermaid, I can speak.
I say with a forced laugh, like, ha ha ha, shut the hell up.
I turn back to Kent. What fandom were you writing?
Pokemon, Kent says,
and he cringes a little, like I'm about to make fun of him. He has dimples too, because, damn.
I know it's silly, but that was my everything growing up.
Not silly, Alima says.
Definitely not. I used to beg my parents to take me outside so I could catch a Squirtle, I say. I was a Pikachu guy, Kent says,
Pikachu was my man, Dylan says.
I can't tell if Dylan is my wingman or competition. I give him a, hey, maybe go away look, and he actually gets my signal.
Dylan turns to Alima.
So, what do you do for fun? What's your drug of choice?
Not literal drug, unless literal drug is your speed. Not speed as in the drug.
My deepest apologies to Alima, but I feel a flicker with Kent that I like. And maybe I came here looking for someone who won't show up, but I'll leave with someone who could be even better for me.
So, how do I find this Pikachu fanfiction? I ask.
It's long gone. Destroyed. I threw it in a volcano, then I threw that volcano into another volcano.
If Kent's chuckle is this charming, then I can't wait to hear his laugh.
So, where'd you grow up?
Alphabet City, I say.
No way, that's not far from me. I live a couple blocks from Union Square.
Okay, now this definitely feels like the universe is involved. We've lived 15 minutes apart from each other and we're just now meeting.
My dad is an assistant manager at Duane Reade, right across the street from Union, I say. I'm proud of my dad, but some dicks at school thought lesser of my family because my parents don't have cooler jobs. And Dylan was a muscle who shut them all down. It feels good to get this out right now in case Kent is a huge snob.
I go there all the time. I'm in charge of dinner on Tuesdays and Thursdays, so that's where I get my supplies.
But Whole Foods is like a block down, I say.
His sneakers and clothes suggest his family can spring the extra few bucks.
The lines are always a mile long, and everything I need to whip up Spanish dishes is there, Kent says.
Oh, cool. Are you Puerto Rican by any chance? Or...
I am, yeah,
Kent says. Another smile.
I still don't have any clear confirmation he's into guys, but it's going well, at least.
Me too. Everyone always thinks I'm white.
It sucks, I say. It's pretty annoying always having to make that clear. Kent bites his lip as he nods.
At least no one follows you around grocery stores like you're trying to steal something. And I bet no one is asking you if you got into Yale to meet some sort of diversity quota. That actually sucks.
I look away because, wow, Kent didn't swing, but it still felt like I got punched. I'm sorry, it's quiet between us. Having to tell people I'm Puerto Rican is not a problem compared to what Kent faces regularly. I'm the worst.
I should rescue Alima from Dylan.
Yeah. I'll see you around, Ben.
Of course he won't, and that's gotta be a good thing. I go to Dylan and grab his arm.
Excuse us a sec, I say.
I drag him away.
I wanna go.
Are you kidding? I was wrong about the AM vibes. Kent is pure PM. He wants you to take him into that bathroom and catch his Pikachu.
I have no idea what that is supposed to mean.
We need to have a chat about what dude-on-dude sex looks like. I shake my head.
I don't belong here. I'm not actually about to build a future at Yale, or with Kent or Arthur. I'm done.
You're not being fair to yourself, Dylan says.
Maybe not, but I'm being honest.
I rush for the steps and head back down into the park. This was such a waste. I can't believe we did all this, like Arthur was ever actually going to be here. I was stupid to think that the universe had some master plan. All I know now is that I cared enough to show up here and I'm walking away completely clueless on what's next for my future. I just know I'm back at the start with no idea which way to go. Friday, July 13th. I can't focus on Angry Birds when I hear Hudson and Harriet laughing while taking a selfie together. The bags under my eyes are so... Hudson can't find the word.
WWE cage match, Harriet says.
She flips her hair over her shoulders and sticks her chest out.
You should make a silly face. It'll distract from the beat-up look you got going on.
Thanks for the ego boost.
I'm just being honest. You need more beauty sleep, Harriet says.
Beauty sleep hardly seems important for someone who filters the holy hell out of her photos. But what Harriet does for the gram is her business. Literally. She does these ads for healthy juices that she doesn't even like because they give her stomach aches. Doesn't stop her from making $200 a picture. Harriet once did a hashtag boyfriend tag with Dylan, where she did his makeup, contour on his cheekbones and eyeshadow. Dylan was a total champ about it and loved the attention. Harriet was so proud of the photos that she didn't even delete them after he broke up with her. Harriet tagging me in photos was always wild. I would get a couple dozen followers. Then they'd all gradually unfollow because they could give a shit about my pictures of cool graffiti I'd find in bathrooms around the city. Or my pictures with Hudson.
That photo sucks even more, Hudson says after another attempt. My face is not good today. Forget it.
Hudson is always hard on himself.
Let's try one more, Harriet says. Silly faces.
You got it, boss. Hudson leans in, puts his fist underneath his chin, and stares off into the sky like he's just had the most epic eureka moment and is now ready to remake the world. Harriet is blowing a kiss at absolutely no one in the opposite direction. They review the photo.
Love it, Harriet says. I need a caption.
Wait, Hudson says. You look hot.
No.
He zooms in and they both turn around, staring at me.
I must have photobombed their selfie. Their one good selfie. And of course I was staring at them instead of casually looking at my phone.
Hudson shakes his head and looks away. My face goes red. I get back into Angry Birds and mind my business. Or try to, at least. I still have ears.
He looks good, too, I gotta admit, Harriet says.
No, you don't have to admit that, Hudson harshly whispers. One more month until I'm free from this hellhole. I walk into Dream and Bean and Dylan is sitting by the window.
Big Ben, step into my office, Dylan says,
removing his backpack from one chair so I can sit.
Your office needs a bigger table.
Who needs tables when you have this wonderful view?
Dylan gestures to the window. There's literally trash piling up. 3 bags worth. There's a better view from Hudson's bedroom, and it's just brick wall.
Do you want something to drink? My people can get right on that.
You're a regular, not the owner.
Why are you so hurtful, Ben?
Quick recap. I'm in summer school with my ex-boyfriend. I thought I was going to reunite with a cute guy yesterday. I didn't. Life sucks.
I lost some sleep last night thinking about both Hudson and Arthur. Hudson because I wasn't looking forward to another school day with him. Arthur because I realized I screwed up by moving along. Up until yesterday when Samantha got involved, I never thought there was a real chance of finding him. It's New York City and I know next to nothing about him. But then she got her Nancy Drew on and hope became a thing. And the Yale lead was a smart one, but it led to nothing except how much I wanted it to work out. To find Arthur and see what could happen between us.
You won't stay single long with that face. Dylan's eyebrows bounce.
I'm not in the flirty mood.
I feel like I'm being punished for wanting to be happy, I say.
Like, maybe life would have been fine if I gave Hudson a second chance. Maybe everything would have gotten better.
Maybe you're just Friday the 13th's bitch.
At least we have our marathon.
Dylan is quiet for a second.
Samantha-less marathon.
I'm sure she'll reach out.
I'm not sure. She never texted him back last night. Not to be that person, but I'd be lying if I said I wasn't a little relieved things aren't coming together with Samantha. Don't get me wrong, I want him to be happy. He's my absolute best friend. But sorry, he's not good at being a best friend when he's someone's boyfriend. It's like